Everybody. So we begin Pirkei Avos, as is the minhag this time of year. Years past, I just have developed the idea, and I stand by it. If I changed my mind, I wouldn't be embarrassed, but I really do believe that the essence of studying Pirkei Avos during this time of year has to do with the very reason that we have, the Nihugei Avelos of Sfira Sa'omer, Shelo Nagu Kavod Zebazah, the Shemasar Elef Zugim Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who had plenty of Torah, but not very much Derech Eretz at all. And the futility of that is manifest certainly in that Gemara. And it's something that we're really meant to internalize on our path towards Kabbalah Satorah, the indispensability of Midos Tovos, of Yashrus. And that brings me to a comment that the Bar Tanura makes on the opening Mishnah of Moshe Kibbal Torah Misinai. It's a very unusual beginning, and he says it's because this Masechta is different than all other Masechtos that we have in Shas. Masechta Sukkah obviously deals with the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, the mitzvah of Dalad Minim. Masechta Speitza, which we just finished, deals with principles of Yantif. Before that, Masechta Megillah deals with the Dindar Rabbanan of Mikra Megillah, and the Zmandar Rabbanan of Purim. So on and so forth. So Moshe Kibbal Torah Misinai, be easy to believe that this is just a book of aphorisms, of statements, of Divrei Musar. But they have, as the Bar Tanura notes, plenty of that bein umo sa'olam. In all cultures there are sayings, whether it's, from Benjamin Franklin here in the United States to Confucius and Mencius in the Far East and everywhere in between. There are plenty of works of virtue and morals. So the Bar Tanura says, no, Moshe Kibbal Torah Misinai, this is part of the Torah that Moshe was mekabel Misinai. These midos tovos aren't just, good advice, etza tova kamash malan, but they speak to fundamentals no different than Shabbos or Yom Kippur or Kashra. So this is part of the corpus of Torah, Moshe Kibbal Misinai. Misara li Yoshua, the Perish HaMiuchas LaRashi, there's some question as to whether it's authentically Rashi or not. Try to refer to it as the Perish HaMiuchas LaRashi, it's attributed to Rashi, as there's a lot of controversy on that issue. It says, Misara li Yoshua, doesn't say Vilamda li Yoshua. Misara means something more than just teaching. It has to do with Yehoshua's status as a Baal HaMasora. That means to say that Yehoshua wasn't just an individual who learned Torah in the generation that followed Moshe, but that he took responsibility for Torah. And each generation there are Talmidei Chachamim, people who certainly are deserving of our respect. And then there are Chachmei HaMasora, right? Individuals who literally take responsibility for Torah in that generation. The Rambam enumerates the 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu to Ravina and Ravashi at the beginning of the Yad HaChazaka, right? So those are the individuals who were the Baalei Masora in that particular generation. Of course, it continues on to this very day. Yoshua Lezakenim. Yoshua, the Pesukim talk about the Zakenim, Asher Harichu Yamim Achra Yoshua, and then the Zakenim to the Nevi'im, the point of demarcation there appears to be Eli HaKohen and Shmuel HaNavi, as we have at the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Nevi'im Isaru Lanche Knesset HaGedola. Lanche Knesset HaGedola were a group of 120 Rabbanim, and there were a number of Nevi'im amongst them, Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, Nechemiah, Ezra, Nechemiah were part of that group, Mordechai was part of that group, etc. So the a number of Rishonim, including the Bar Tanura himself, who point out that the three things that we're going to see are have a common denominator, and that is that they are essential for Kiyum HaTorah, for ensuring that Torah exists to be passed down from one generation to the other. So the Shlosh Dvarim that the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah said, the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah gave us all of our tefilos. The Anshe Knesset HaGedolah gave us all of our brachos. So why these three things? It's specifically related to this Mishnah about the transmission of the Masorah. So what does it require? What ensures the viability of transmission? So they said three things. Hevu Mesunah Badin. Number one, the way in each generation, Dayanim and Ba'alei Hora'ah relate to matters of Torah with a great amount of Kovid Rosh, with seriousness, with thoughtfulness, with insight, taking a great deal of gravity for even seemingly trivial matters, even if they have enormous amounts of experience in dealing with these areas of halacha, but to treat every case like it really is a very important, central, foundational case, that's essential for the transmission of Torah. The minute that that sense of gravitas of Kovod Rosh is lost, is the moment where there's no ballast to the system. Once an attitude of being cavalier with halacha sets in, then the system itself is under a grievous threat. V'amidu talmidim harbe, the need to produce many, many, many talmidim, and this isn't only the case quantitatively, which is something which is emphasized heavily by the Rishonim, but my Rebbe Rosenzweig would like to quote in the name of the Reb Chaim Valashner, the Ruach HaChaim, also qualitatively, v'amidu talmidim harbe, to get talmidim onto their own feet, and to make sure they're prepared to carry the Torah forward to the next generation, right? The mark of a great Rebbe is not that his Talmidim remain forever dependent on him, hopefully forever indebted to him, but not forever dependent on him, that he's able to transmit a methodology, he's able to transmit the tools through which these Talmidim will be able to carry the Torah forward, long beyond the natural lifespan of the Rebbe himself. So, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, from day one, your goal has to be, as it is for every parent, right? What does every parent want? They want their children to grow up to be independent. They don't want their children to be dependent, stunted human beings. And there's a great deal of parallelism there with respect to what we want our Talmidim to be. Not that they'll be shooting out of left field and off the reservation in terms of their halachic approaches, but that they're going to be prepared to take responsibility when the hour arrives. And again, presuming that they are Begeder Higi'u Lehora, we're not talking about people who are novices, but they invest the time. That's a critical part of the story as well. V'asu Siag LaTorah, and to build a fence around the Torah itself. A part of what preserves Torah, preserves the substance of Torah from one generation to the next, is that the institution of Takanos and Gzeros Derabanan are really meant to ensure the viability of Torah itself, that we shouldn't be walking right up into the edge. Mashal Madaber Doma, this idea of a siag. Imagine a person had, back in agricultural society, they had their crop, which was going to be the basis of their family's survival through a harsh winter, right? So they wouldn't be playing football, in that area. They'd build a fence around it. They would make sure that nobody was trampling over it, because if they do, then, right, people aren't going to eat. So that chavivus, that sense of the preciousness of Torah, asu mishmeres mishmarti v'shamruas mishmarti, is a reflection of, the seriousness that one takes Torah itself with. There's a beautiful drasha based on the pasuk that we read yesterday in Shir Hashirim, ki tovim dodecha miyayin, chavivin divrei chachamim divrei sofer midivrei Torah atzman, because when you respect that fence, around your field, what you're really doing is you're showing great respect for the Torah itself, and the very existence of that fence is the greatest testament to the seriousness that one takes Torah with. So God willing, we'll pick it up with the second and third Mishnayos in the first parak tomorrow.